We all survived the snowstorm from last week, so that is good. Now, there once was a woman who every morning she would go up to the gate of her house and she would shout out, "Praise the Lord." So she said, "Praise the Lord," out loud to everyone in the neighborhood. And every time she shouts out, "Praise the Lord," one of her neighbors, who's an atheist, would say, "There is no Lord." And that goes like about every single morning. She would shout out, "Praise the Lord." And then her neighbor would say, "There is no Lord." Now, one morning in particular, she had particular needs. This woman was low on money. She wasn't even sure if she was able to have enough money to be able to buy food for the day. So she prayed to the Lord that God would provide her with some food. So the next day, all of a sudden, she opened her door, and there was a bag of groceries right on her front steps. And then she picked it up, and do you know what she said? She said, "Praise the Lord." And then all of a sudden, her atheist neighbor jumped out from behind the bushes and said, "Ha, there is no Lord. I was the one who bought you those groceries." And then, do you know what the lady said? She also said, "Praise the Lord. Not only did you provide me for our food, but you made the atheist pay for my groceries." So I think a lot of us, we can relate to this lady, and because we might find it great joy because we trust that God will be able to provide for our needs no matter what happens. But then on the other hand, I think there's some of us who may doubt. Some of us may be feeling, "Oh, I don't even know if God is real or God is there. And even if he is, I'm not even sure if he actually loves or cares about me. Does he really know about my needs and my situations? Will he actually be able to provide for my needs?" And because of that, we find it hard for us to have joy in our life, and especially in particular, joy in the Lord, because we doubt whether God can actually provide for us. So as we look into today's passage, we'll be able to see what God can provide us with that will help us and that will lead us to rejoice in him. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to please take them out and turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be focusing on verses 10 all the way to the end of the chapter in verse 23. So just to remind everyone, for the past couple of months, we've been through a sermon series through the book of Philippians that's called The Joyful Life in Christ. And today, this will be the final sermon. This will be the conclusion of this sermon series as we finish up the book of Philippians. And our focus today is that we can be able to rejoice in God because of how he provides. So I hope you're here with me, Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. If you don't have a Bible, you can find Bibles in the pews in front of you, or you can look along with your neighbors. Please follow along as I read Philippians chapter 4, starting from verse 10. This is a letter that Paul writes to the Philippians. He says, verse 10, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger in abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Verse 14, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again." Verse 17, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Again, we are so grateful. We're so thankful that you have given us your word. We are so grateful that we can be able to come every Sunday to worship you, to praise your name, and to see what you can be able to teach us, Lord. Father, I pray that you would teach us, as you have for the past couple of months, about how we can live a life of joy in you. And in particular, because we know that you can provide for our needs. Maybe there are some of us today who are feeling very doubtful, who doubts not only in your existence, but even if you do exist, like doubts whether you can actually provide for us, doubts whether you actually love us and care for us. And Father, I pray that you will show us today that you do love us, you do care for us, and you will provide for us. And because of that, that should lead us to praise your name. That should lead us to have joy in our life. Father, we want to thank you. We want to lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. So from this passage today, we're going to be answering one main question. So if you'd like to take notes, I encourage you to write this down. So the main question that we're going to be asking is, what can God provide us that lead us to rejoice in him? So what can God provide us that lead us to rejoice in him? And from this passage, we'll see that there will be three provisions. Three provisions that God will provide us with that will lead us to rejoice in him. So let's start with the first provision that we'll see. So let's go back into our passage. Read with me starting from verse 10 again. Again, Paul is telling the Philippians, verse 10, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. So here, the Apostle Paul rejoices in the Lord. Why? Because he is happy that the Philippians were concerned for him. Now, why were they concerned for him? Well, because Paul himself had his particular needs in his situation. Remember what situation was he was in? You know, as he was writing this letter to the Philippians, he was suffering in prison in Rome, over 800 miles away from Philippi. You know, and he was in prison because he was preaching the gospel. And actually, really, when we say that he's in prison, he's actually under house arrest. So he was chained to a Roman guard who 24/7 would be keeping an eye on him. And because he was under house arrest, he also had to pay rent for the room that he was staying in. So not only did he need money for rent, he also needed money for food. And he couldn't work because he was in chains. So this is the needs. This is the situation that he was in. And the Philippians were concerned for him. So what did they do? They sent Epaphroditus over 800 miles, traveled to Rome to deliver an offering gift to Paul. So one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians was not only to teach them about the Lord, but also to thank them for the gift that he received from Epaphroditus, for their financial gift for supporting him. However, let's read verse 11, the beginning part of it. It says, not that I am speaking of being in need. So, you know, very often if you support someone, they would actually say, oh, you actually care about me. I have some more needs. Can you give me more money? But here, Paul isn't writing this letter to ask for more money and ask for more support from the Philippians. No, he's not saying that. That's why he says in verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. So the Apostle Paul, he was able to rejoice in the Lord because what? Because he is content. He is satisfied. But how is he content? In what way is he content? It says that in whatever situation. So in any situation that he's in, he is content. Now, can you think of a time when you feel like you can actually be content in whatever situation that comes at you? And I think it might be very hard for us to be in that situation because there's so many hard situations, there's so many tragedies that happen in our lives that will cause us to be in want and not be satisfied, not to be content. This is why the Apostle Paul says that this is something that has to be learned. In verse 11, he says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. So if we really want to reach the point of being content in whatever situation, it has to be something that has to be learned. Now, I think just to acknowledge all of us, just like the Apostle Paul, who is a human being, who goes through different situations in his life, just as he has needs, we also have needs in our life based on what happens. Now, as I mentioned, like this past Sunday and Monday, we had that snowstorm that came. And you won't believe how that snowstorm caused me so much trouble and brought me so much like things that I had to be in need for. So because of the snowstorm on Sunday, which went into Monday, I had to, you know, shovel, actually not really shovel, I was very thankful that I had a snowblower. I had to clear out my driveway because one of my cars had an appointment to go get an oil change. And so in order to do that, I had to clear out my driveway. So took my snowblower and I was like I was waiting until like the last minute to do it. Joyce kept on telling me, no, there's only half hour left like before your appointment, you should go. I said, oh no, it only takes 5 minutes to plow the snow. Boy, was I wrong. So what happens? So I started plowing and I realized, oh, this is gonna take me a lot more time. So I had need, I was like, I need more time to do this. But then all of a sudden, my snowblower all of a sudden stopped. It ran out of gas. So now I needed gas. But thankfully, I was able to at least plow like half of my driveway. So that's enough for my car to be able to back out of the garage and to go to my appointment. So I thanked God for that. Then I came back home, and then I was like, I can probably snowblow the rest of the driveway later on. But then Joyce reminded me, oh, now Olive has an appointment. She needed an oil change too. No, I mean, she has her 12-month appointment, checkup. But Olive's car seat was in the other car, and that other car is on the other side of the driveway, which is being blocked by the snow. So now I had to go snowblow. But then I was like, oh, I don't have gas in my car. So I had to, in the snowblower. So I went back in my other car that was clear, started backing out to go to the gas station to get some gas, and then all of a sudden, my car got stuck in my driveway because it wasn't really that much space to be able to go through. So I'm like crying out, God, why'd you have to let this happen again? Now I had to go out and shovel. And this is another situation where I had a need. Finally, I was able to go out, go get the gas, come back, put it in the snowblower, and I had to clear out the rest of the driveway as quickly as possible because, again, I was pressed for time to get Olive to her appointment. And I had to skip lunch because of all that. So I had need because I was very hungry. Later on, I finally had to go to church. And when I was in the streets in Albany, I made the mistake of going down a one-way street, and that road wasn't plowed at all. And there's a van in front of me that was stuck in the snow. And because it was a one-way street, I was essentially stuck. I couldn't back out at all. And again, I'm wondering, God, why'd you have to let this happen to me? So I share this all of you, not for you to pity me, but to really show that there's a lot of situations in our life, like even a lot that can happen in the same day, which will lead us to be in want, which will lead us to have needs and make us wonder or doubt whether God can be able to provide for us. You may be in situations where you have financial needs. Maybe you don't have enough money to pay your bills or to pay the mortgage. You may be in situations where you are hungry and you have hunger needs. You have love needs, or you have friends needs, or you have need for comfort. No matter what happens in your life, there will be situations where you will have needs. But despite all these situations that we go through, and the Apostle Paul, he can go through as well, what does Paul say? Verse 11, he says, "For I have learned in whatever situation to be content." So, you know, what does it mean to be content? You know, we talked about how whatever situation, like we usually think of whatever situation meaning like that times when we lack something. You know, it makes sense. If we lack something, then we tend not to be content. But what if whatever situation also includes those situations when we have plenty or when we are abundant? So how can we be still not content if we have a lot of things? Well, think about it this way. Someone can have a lot of money, but still want more. Or someone can have a lot of food, but still want to eat more food. Or someone can have a lot of friends, but they would still want more popularity. So even in every situation, when we have plenty, it is still possible for us to not be content. So this is why the Apostle Paul had to describe what he means by every situation. Look in verse 12. He says, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, of abundance and need. So here in verse 12, Paul has to describe whatever situation as being times when we are lacking and also times when we have plenty. But yet, even in when he's lacking, even when he's plenty, again, he emphasizes in verse 11 that I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. So we talked about what whatever situation means, but let's talk about what does content mean. Now, this word content in verse 11, in the Greek, it literally means self-sufficiency. So the Greeks, in their mindset, they think that when you are content, you need to be self-sufficient. It's all about you. And there's Greek Stoics, they have this particular philosophy that says that, you shouldn't get worked up over things that you can't change. So let's say you're facing a situation, you know that you can't do anything about it, and you might think, okay, this is must be God's will for me in my life, so you might as well just cope with it. You might as well just deal with it yourself. So this idea of being content focuses on your own ability. So the Greek Stoics, their idea of being content means to be self-sufficient. But is this what the Apostle Paul means when he's talking about being content in whatever situation? And of course, in context, no, that's not what he is saying. So what does he mean then? What does it mean to be content? Let's read verse 12 and verse 13. Again, he says, verse 12, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. Verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him, through Christ, who strengthens me. So here, Paul is saying that to learn of in whatever situation to be content does not mean for us to be self-sufficient, but rather it means for us to be Christ-sufficient. For us to be content isn't mean that we are to be self-sufficient, but it means for us to be Christ-sufficient. To say that Christ is enough. To say that Christ will provide for your needs. To say that Christ will be the one to provide you with the strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let's answer our question. What can God provide us that lead us to rejoice in him? Here is the first provision, point number one. God can provide us with strength to learn to be Christ-sufficient. God can provide us with strength to learn to be Christ-sufficient. Verse 13, I can do all things through him, through Christ, who strengthens me. Now, I want to say that this verse is one of the most misapplied verses that you see Christians using. You see this verse on many different things. You see it on Christian stationery. You see it on mugs. You see it on Christian apparel, bumper stickers, everything. But you see, Christians, they use this verse to make a statement that they literally can do anything because Christ can be able to strengthen them. So they use that as a promise. So say, for example, there's a Christian and he's on a basketball team and he's quoting this verse. He say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that means I can be able to win this basketball game because I know that Christ strengthens me. And he claims that as a promise. But what if on the opposing team, there's also a Christian who also uses this verse and says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he wants to claim that win. So because it kind of puts God in an awkward situation, right? So who do I listen to? They both claim this promise. But you see, this isn't what this verse means. Like, to do, it said, I can do all things. This doesn't even mean that we can do, like, even the impossible things. I can't say that, oh, I can be able to fly through Christ who strengthens me. Or I can be able to divide by zero through Christ who strengthens me. You know, you can't use this to do the impossible things as well. So what is Paul really saying? So when Paul says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he is talking about being content, being sufficient in Christ in whatever situation that is listed in verse 12. So again, verse 12, he says, I know how to be brought low, how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So this all things refers to the highs and lows in his life. This all things refers to having plenty and having abundance and having need and lacking. So this is what he means by all things. He can be able to go through all those situations and be content, be Christ sufficient. Why? Because it is Christ who strengthens him. So again, what can God provide for us that will lead us to rejoice in him? As we said, first point, God can provide us with the strength to learn to be Christ sufficient. So I'm going to ask you, are you learning, just like the Apostle Paul, to be Christ sufficient in whatever situation, to be content? And if so, I encourage you to ask God to give you that strength to be able to learn to do so, so you can be able to experience that joy. We can be able to be content in whatever situation that we go through, the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, when we have plenty and when we are in need. Do you see Christ as the one who is sufficient in your life? Or do you see something else that will try to make you content in whatever situation? Would you be able to say, I can do all things through money, or I can do all things through drugs, or I can do all things through education or friends? Look, you might substitute that with something else. But here, Paul tells us that we should say, I can do all things, meaning being content in every single situation in our life, through Christ. Why? Because he's the one who provides us with the strength. So again, what can God provide us that leads us to rejoice in him? First point, God can provide us with strength to learn to be Christ sufficient. As we continue on in this passage, I believe that there is another thing that God provides us with that should lead us to rejoice in him. So actually, I'll give you the answer to this one right away. So the second point. So what can God provide us with that leads us to rejoice in him? Number two, God can provide us with our needs by using the sacrificial service of others. So God can provide us with our needs by using the sacrificial service of others. So let's look back in Paul's situation. Paul had particular needs while he was suffering in prison. But how did God provide for his needs? God used the Philippians to support him. And because of this, this is why Paul is led to rejoice in the Lord. Let's look over in verse 14 in our passage. Paul says, "Yet it was kind of you to share in my troubles." So here, Paul refers back to what he started in verse 10, when he says, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at length that you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity." So the Philippians, they provided for the Apostle Paul sacrificially by giving, again, this offering gift while he was suffering in prison in Rome. This was God's provision, and because of that, Paul rejoiced in the Lord. But in addition for God providing for Paul through the Philippians at this time, Paul also acknowledged that God had also provided to the Apostle Paul in the past through the Philippians as well. So continue on, read verse 15. It says, "And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel," so let's talk about 10 years ago, "when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again." So 10 years ago, prior to writing this letter, the Apostle Paul had arrived in Philippi, and he preached the gospel there, and he started this Philippian church there. And this was during his second missionary trip. So you read about this in Acts chapter 16. And then afterwards, the Apostle Paul continued on, and he preached by going to Thessalonica. So you read about this in Acts chapter 17. Now, Thessalonica was the capital of the Roman province of Macedonia. So here, when Paul is talking about how when he left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in the giving and receiving except only you. No, it was only the Philippians who had supported the Apostle Paul 10 years ago when he had left Thessalonica. So the Philippians, they sacrificially supported for Paul's needs, not only while he was in Thessalonica. So he says, "Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again." But then in addition, even after he left Thessalonica, they also continued to support him in all of his needs while he was on this missionary trip. And because they supported him, and because God provided for the Apostle Paul through the Philippians, Paul was led to rejoice in the Lord. And we know that he's content. Jump to verse 18. He says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So again, what can God provide us that lead us to rejoice in him? Again, we said in our second point, God can provide us with our needs by using the sacrificial service of others. Sometimes, like when I'm bored, I just jump onto YouTube. There was this watch. There was a YouTuber who was making this video where he was randomly going to people's homes, knocking on their doors, and then asking if he can pay for their next month's rent or their next month's mortgage. So as a YouTuber, I guess he has a lot of money and he just wants to give it away and make more money by making videos. But one person that he knocked on their door is a Christian, and apparently, just like prior to this YouTuber coming to his door, he was just praying to God because he was in financial need and he didn't know if he was able to pay for the next month's rent. And then all of a sudden, you have this random person, stranger, he doesn't even know, knock on his door and then offer to pay for his next month's rent. So because of that, this person, he shared his story and it was like just praising God for how he had provided. Now this YouTuber, of course, I don't think he's a Christian, and he's only doing this for the video, but even in that situation, God used this person to be able to provide for the need of this Christian who wasn't able to provide for or pay the next month's rent. So if even God can use non-believers to provide for a Christian's needs, then how much more should he be able to use us as a church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to also to be able to provide for the needs of other Christians who have these needs? There was once a true story of a missionary. He was in a different country. He didn't have enough money, and he was struggling with being able to have enough food for his family for that day. So the only thing that he could do was just pray. And as soon as he was done praying, again, he heard a knock on the door, and there was their neighbor who said, oh, it was me who brought, no, it's a different story from the beginning. There was another Christian who said, I don't know why, but God told me to go to the grocery store and to buy some groceries for you, and here you go. So again, this person didn't know why, but God led to use this person to buy groceries and to provide for the need of this missionary who was in need. I also can think of many examples here in our own church where we have one of our church members who may be going through a very tragic time, is going through a crisis, and they also have a lot of needs, but church members step up to provide for them financially, to step up to provide meals for them, to step up to cook for them, to babysit, or even clean their home. So God can use us as a church to serve sacrificially, to provide for the needs of one another, and that's how God can be able to provide for our needs. And when we receive this provision, we should be able to praise God for it. So, as an application, I want to ask you, when you are experiencing times of need, do you not only find your be content in Christ, but do you also trust that God will be able to provide for your needs? And God can do so through other people in the church, through other sisters who can serve sacrificially. You know, you don't even have to ask. Sometimes you don't even have to go and beg for people. See, the Apostle Paul, he never asked the Philippians to support him, but yet they still did. And we should rejoice when God provides for us in those situations, when God uses our brothers and sisters to be able to provide for our needs. Now, another application that this also means that we often don't think about is that this also means that you should think about whether God may be using you to serve sacrificially to provide for the needs of others. Yes, you have to think about yourself on not just the receiving end of getting your needs provided for, but on the giving end. If God can use the church to provide for the needs for one another, then this means that God can use you to serve sacrificially to provide for the needs of others as well. And we may hesitate about serving sacrificially. We may hesitate about giving. You know why? Because we worry about our own needs. We think that, oh, if I give, if I serve sacrificially, then do I have enough money for myself? Do I have enough money to provide for my own family and to pay my own bills? Or if I use my time and my energy to serve one another in the church, then I worry that I have enough time and energy for my studies. I worry that I have enough time and energy for my family or for my own personal needs. See, these are the things that often go through our head and may affect whether we want to serve sacrificially. So we have to think about it from the perspective of the giver as well. Now, we see, you know, back in this passage that the Philippians had supported the Apostle Paul and partnered with him in his ministry as he went on these missionary trips to preach the gospel. But what about the Christians in Thessalonica? You know, the Apostle Paul, he was in Thessalonica, and then he left and he continued on this missions trip. But it says no other church had provided for his needs except for the Philippians. So why didn't the Christians in Thessalonica provide for the Apostle Paul? You know, actually, the Thessalonians, they were known to be very, very wealthy people because it was a very wealthy city. So they had the resources to be able to support Paul, but they didn't. Now, the Bible doesn't exactly say why they didn't support, but we can assume, we can guess, you know, just from our own experiences, why we don't want to give, why we don't want to serve. Because we worry about our own needs. But you see, when God provides for his people, he doesn't just provide for those who are on the receiving end, but you also think that God also provides for us who are on the giving end. So even on the end as the giver, as the person who is serving self-sacrificially, we can also receive joy and blessing for him. So let's see what that means. Let's continue on in this passage. Go back to verse 15 in Philippians chapter 4. Paul says, "And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only." Notice what it says here. It says, "In giving and receiving." So we know that the Philippians, you know, they gave, but it also says here, part of this ministry is also for them to receive. And these terms, giving and receiving, are like bookkeeping terms. So it's like debit and credit. So giving is like debit, where you are spending money. You're spending on something. And receiving is like credit, where you are gaining something. So the Philippians here, they were the only church who essentially had opened a bank account with the Apostle Paul. Or really, they opened a bank account with God. They invested in this bank account their gifts and their financial support in their service, and they gained from God's bank. So it says here, "In no church entered into partnership with me in the giving and receiving, except only you." So what did the Philippians receive? What was their credit? So there is something to be gained by giving and being used by God to provide for others. So we see, what is this credit if we look over in verse 17. Paul says, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases your credit." I seek the fruit that increases your credit. So the Apostle Paul, he doesn't care for the financial gift that he received from the Philippians, because his joy is not dependent on whether his needs are met. Rather, he's saying here that his joy is dependent on the fruit that the Philippians, as the givers, that they would receive that would increase to their credit in their bank account. What is this fruit? This fruit that increases to your credit. This fruit that he's talking about is the spiritual blessings that comes in growth in Jesus Christ. So this fruit that increases, this credit, is this growth in Jesus Christ. So when they give sacrificially to the Apostle Paul and they supported him, they learned and they grew in their relationship with God. You see, in God's economy, you can be able to exchange what is material with something that is spiritual. And when this happens, this should lead us to rejoice in the Lord. So let's answer our question again. What can God provide us that lead us to rejoice in the Lord? Here is the third point, the third provision. God can provide us with spiritual blessings of growth when we sacrificially serve others. So God can provide us with spiritual blessings of growth when we sacrificially serve others. And to quote the famous Billy Mays, but wait, there's more. There's more than that. Jump over to verse 19. Paul says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." So even as we sacrificially serve others and we give, God will also provide for your needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus. And God, the Father, receives all the glory because of this. So this is another reason why we should rejoice when God provides for us. As we give, God will also take care of our needs. So this is part of the fruits that increases. This is part of the credit. This is part of what happens when God provides us for our needs, and God provides us as we give to provide for the needs of other people. So I want to ask you, are you ready to open a bank account with God? Now, I know like when you usually open a bank account, they usually give you some incentive, they give you some free gifts. I don't think the Bible says anything about that. But when I talk about opening a bank account with God, I'm talking about, are you willing to invest your gifts, whether your spiritual gifts or your finances or whatever it may be, to serve God, to provide for the needs for other people, and see how that investment can be turned into spiritual growth and growth in your relationship with Jesus Christ, can turn into how God can continue to provide for you as well. And when that happens, we should rejoice in the Lord. Are we willing to invest and to serve sacrificially and to give and see how God can be able to provide for us? We should rejoice. So let's review everything that we've learned here in this passage here in Philippians chapter 4 from verses 10 to 23. Again, we answered the main question of what can God provide us that lead us to rejoice in Him? We said that there are three provisions. Let's review them. The first provision, God can provide us with strength to learn to be Christ sufficient. Second provision, God can provide us with our needs by using the sacrificial service of others. And finally, as we said, number three, God can provide us with the spiritual blessings of growth in Christ when we sacrificially serve others. So again, we can rejoice in the Lord because of how God can provide for us. But you see, God's provision isn't the only reason for us to rejoice in Him. Again, throughout this whole sermon series, through the book of Philippians, these past couple of months, we have seen how we can have a joyful life in Christ. So that was the name of the sermon series, Joyful Life in Christ. And we found many reasons for us to rejoice in Him. We can have a joyful life in Christ because of the impact the gospel has in our life. We can have a joyful life in Christ even in our suffering, because we can be able to trust and magnify Christ through our suffering. We can be able to have a joyful life in Christ because knowing Christ is greater than anything else in this life. We can rejoice, have a joyful life in Christ as we press on and run this race towards a spiritual maturity in our relationship with Christ and knowing Christ. We can have a joyful life in Christ because of the peace that we can receive from God, no matter what circumstances we can go through. And as we learn today, we can have a joyful life in Christ because of how God can provide for us. So to have a joyful life in Christ is to have Christ at the center of our lives. Now, I want to remind us some of the key verses that we see throughout the book of Philippians that point us towards Christ being at the center. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Chapter 2, verse 5, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." Chapter 3, verse 14, "I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And then, as we read today, chapter 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So let us live our lives joyfully because we have Christ at the center of our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you so much for how you have spoken to us these past couple of months through the book of Philippians, of how we can have a joyful life in you. Thank you that you've shown us how you are the one who can always provide for our needs, even when it may seem hard, even when it may seem like you won't provide for us. Because we doubt. We wonder what you can be able to do. But Lord, thank you for renewing our faith. We know that you can be able to give us the strength to be sufficient in you, to be content. We know that you can be able to provide for our needs through other people in the church. We know that you can be able to use us to provide for the needs of other people, and in turn, you will provide us with the spiritual blessing of growth in you. Lord, we should praise you, we should worship you, we should rejoice you, because you are someone, you are the God, the being who is faithful to us no matter what. Lord, we rejoice, we praise you. May we live our life in joy to you. We lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.